the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. The sermon of the day, the third Sunday after Easter, Christ is the true vine, delivered by Most Reverend John T. Cahill, late Metropolitan of the Anglican Catholic Church. He did this actually on St. Mark's Day, which coincided with the third Sunday after Easter, when he gave it. So we're kind of stretching to include both. That's why I did an extra poly. So that's why
I did it.
Mark.
Yeah.
As an apple.
Right. Okay.
I think there was one time when we celebrated his day. Yeah, no problem. There is nothing about the life of St. Mark which connects him particularly to April 25th. Putting his feast day on April 25th appears to be another example of how the church in its early years took over pagan festivals and existed already and put a Christian spin on them. Setting Christmas on December 25th is a prime example. Now, sort of any time along about there, the Greeks do a different day than we do, usually. In the ancient world, April 25th was a day on which farming people paraded around their fields and prayed to the pagan god who was in charge of protecting crops from mildew. Over time, the church introduced the custom of singing Christian litanies in procession on this day, and later extended the commemoration to include St. Mark. So his day is the relic of a sort of springtime festival whose roots are not unconnected to those of Arbor Day and, dare I mention it, Earth Day. In any event, the most significant fact about St. Mark himself is that he wrote the second New Testament Gospel. Unlike St. Matthew and St. John, he does not claim to have been an eyewitness to the events he writes about. But he is a character later on in the New Testament. His mother's house is where the believers prayed for St. Peter's release from jail in the book of Acts. Mark goes with St. Paul and St. Barnabas on their missionary journey. And he is an associate of both St. Peter and St. Paul later on in Rome. He is believed to have been the founder of the church in North Africa, and the popes of the Coptic Church of Egypt call themselves successors to St. Mark. The center of his cult in the West is at Venice, where his bones were thought to have been brought in the 8th and 9th century. St. Mark's Gospel is the shortest one and in some ways the most direct. In his account of Jesus' arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, he writes, "A certain young man dressed only in a linen cloth was following Jesus. They tried to arrest him, but he ran away naked, leaving the cloth behind." That may well be St. Mark putting himself into the story as a Maundy-Thursday streaker. The prayer book's collect for today prays that we will allow ourselves to be instructed by St. Mark's teaching. That was the second call. The best way to do that is, quite obviously, to study his gospel. If we are rooted in his teaching, we will not be, to quote the collect, like children carried away with every blast of vain doctrine. That imagery is taken from today's epistle, where St. Paul talks about how Jesus parcels out gifts in the church. After we are baptized, we all have gifts. We are supposed to use our gifts not to call attention to ourselves, but to help build up the body of the church. As we work to build up the body, we mature ourselves. St. Paul says we grow up into the image of Jesus. The Holy Ghost makes us more into what Jesus is in his nature, what St. Paul calls a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. As we grow into Christ, we become more stabilized in what we believe and what we do. We are no longer so much like children who cannot make up their minds or focus upon any one thing for very long, nor susceptible to any attractive new idea and any sort of deceptive trickery someone might use to try to get us off the right path. Flightiness in beliefs and actions and susceptibility to anything new are the prevailing sins of our period of history, especially in the church. The antidote to that sort of instability is to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest such things as Mark's gospel. Today's gospel is taken from what St. John writes about Jesus' long speech at the Last Supper. In it, he uses another image for the church, one that is especially appropriate if we are thinking about growing plants. The Old Testament says repeatedly that the people of God are like a vineyard. God plants it, he tends it, and takes care of it, and he tries to make it fruitful. But careless vine dressers tend to let the neighborhood go to seed, and wild boars run through it and root up the vine. Jesus says, "I am the true vine. My Father is the pruning gardener, and you, my followers, are the branches." Since we are merely branches, offshoots of the vine, the only way we can bear fruit and stay alive is to remain rooted in the main trunk of the vine. That means we have to stick with Jesus as he reveals himself to us in such places as St. Mark's Gospel. If we get separated from him, we wither away and die, just as a branch does if it gets cut off from its trunk. To push the poetic image a bit further, the sap of the vine which runs from the trunk into the branches is like the Holy Ghost who connects us to Jesus and gives us his life. We experience hardship and trouble in our lives, but that is not a mistake. Sending us hardships to test us is the way God disciplines us and helps us grow up, just as a gardener will cut branches back so they can, in the end, bear even more fruit. So we give thanks to God all today for the work of his, for the work and writings of St. Mark the Evangelist. In this Easter season, he stands out for us as a steadfast witness to the resurrection of Jesus. Christ has risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as most justly to Almighty, our Majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.